My name is Amanda Qureshi.
So tell me something about your life, your story.
Well, I think probably the most important way to frame this conversation is that I am Muslim, but I was not born Muslim. I was born into a Christian family, grew up Christian, ended up leaving the church that I was raised in, and converted to Islam in 1999.
Okay. So tell me a little more about what it means to you to be a Muslim.
Sure. Well, I think it's something I think about a lot because, especially at this point in time, I feel like Muslimness is very much tied up with identity politics in America. And I have also struggled for a long time to understand my identity as a convert. I'm in a religious community where I'm not the majority ethnically. I feel like I stick out a lot of times. I also don't cover, which a lot of converts do. And my hair, by the way, cover my hair. And I feel like, I've given a lot of thought to it. I've thought for a long time about what it means to be Muslim. And I go back to my original sort of path where I was looking for religion after I had left Christianity. And there was a very specific day when I was sort of tormented by my lack of clarity around my spirituality and around how I wanted to worship and how I wanted to be a religious person in the world, and ended up praying in one of the most impactful and important prayers of my life. And in that prayer, I didn't hold anything back. And I think that was the first time in my life when I completely allowed myself vulnerability with God. And by that I mean I wasn't afraid of whatever answer or lack of answer that I was going to get. I was at that point, I was so at the end of my rope seeking and trying to find out what I wanted to do or how I could be in relationship with God, that I was ready to just walk away from it completely. And so I prayed in the most humble way possible and just asked. And I called God by any name I could think of. I asked that I have some kind of direction. And when I was finished with that prayer, I had the most overwhelming sense of relief, and it was physical as well as mental and spiritual and emotional. And I realized that I had let myself completely submit to whatever that will of God was. Whatever it was, whatever it is, I was ready to take the answer, even if the answer was one that I didn't want. It was all there on the table. And just the knowledge that even if I didn't get an answer, that would be the answer. And I wasn't afraid of that either. And that was before I actually studied the world religion of Islam. But it was shortly thereafter that I discovered Islam. And when I did, one of the first things I learned was that the word Muslim means to one who submits to the will of God, right? Phonetically and the etymology of the word in Arabic is one who submits to the will of God. And I realized that is what I had done before knowing about Muhammad, before knowing about the Quran, before knowing anything that is technically what people would identify as Islam. I had turned myself over to God completely, and it's what I hold on to this day. Even when I'm confused about my identity, even when I'm not sure that's the thing that I go back to, and I remember that moment, and I realize that that definition of Muslim is one that no one can take away from me. It was the most genuine spiritual moment, I think, of my life.
Hmm. I love that story.
Thanks.
So now tell me about your work as an activist, the activities or initiatives you're involved in, and how you got started with those.
So, you know, I, my kind of foray into activism began in a very rude way. I had converted to Islam in 1999, and I was very happy just being Muslim and practicing my new faith. I had very little interaction with a larger community, just a close group of friends that I knew when I converted. But 2 years after I converted, 9/11 happened. And it was at that point when I started to see myself and my religion in a very broader context. It wasn't just a personal decision anymore. And it also was drastically misunderstood by many people. And it was being actively misrepresented by both Muslims who were acting badly and by people outside of my tradition who were speaking with authority about what it meant to be Muslim and what Islam really was. And I felt really compelled to speak to that. But I also was kind of dragged into it a little bit because I didn't feel necessarily qualified to represent our community because I was still a new Muslim. However, at that time, you know, Muslims, they still are, but we were really quite a minority community in Austin and Texas and in the United States. And they're just, we weren't as nearly as organized as we are now, and we're not really that organized now. And so I would be requested by people in our community, imams or other leaders, to go and represent our community at events, or to speak to church groups, or to write an article. And this was just so scary and uncomfortable for me. But I also knew and was told that there wasn't anyone else who was going to do it. And it had to be done. I couldn't just let people have whatever misconceptions they had. And so I did the best I could, made a lot of mistakes, and fumbled around, and was very confused. But in that process, I also started to get involved with the interfaith community. And that was a wonderful, wonderful moment for me when I discovered interfaith work and interfaith engagement. I didn't even realize there was such a thing up until that point. And when I began to hang out in interfaith circles, I thought, this is what I had been missing for most of my life, having been raised in this very narrow kind of evangelical view of religion. And then I was like a kid in a candy store, and I just started going to every interfaith event, and I wanted to know everything about every religion, and I wanted to contribute to that conversation and why Islam was important to me and why I saw value in it. So I've been doing interfaith work largely here in Austin and in Texas for about 10 years. And in the course of doing that, there's also been, you know, activists, if you're an activist in one area, you're going to be an activist in another, more likely. It's I feel like activism is as much a personality type as anything else. And so, you know, there would be lots of cross-pollination as far as, you know, social justice activism. I, at one point, got a job working at an amazing organization, Christian-based organization that served the homeless. And was able to kind of bring my own Muslim perspective to that community or that organization. And as a Muslim and as someone who, you know, has my own perspectives and my own challenges within the Muslim community, I feel like I'm an activist as much outside the inside the community as I am outside the community, and challenging things that I feel aren't completely representative of the tradition that I that I hold dear. So that would be things like making sure there's women's representation in mosques and at Muslim events, and making sure that there is inclusion, you know, racial inclusion, sexual orientation, political inclusion. I really feel very strongly that the Muslim community, in some ways, because it is a minority community, really fears that kind of internal pluralism. I think that that's very natural. I think when a community is a minority and it's under fire, the immediate tendency is to close ranks and to try to make things as safe and cozy and as possible. Get everybody on the same page, everybody on the same team. But by our nature, the Muslim community is so diverse, and I feel like a lot of people continue to be pushed out because they don't fit exactly into those definitions of what it means to be an ideal Muslim and to represent Islam in America. And I think that we, at this point, I think our community is mature enough to be able to handle that, to be able to handle that kind of internal pluralism. And it's actually a joy to watch that flourish.
So this is an added question, not part of the list I sent you, but what would you say are some of the successes, the things you feel like you've accomplished through your work? And then, you know, along those lines as well, what are some of the challenges you feel like you have faced or continue to face?
Well, I think that I believe, you know, I don't have metrics, but I do believe that the work I do and the work that I've done in concert with many other people in my community has broadened the understanding of Muslims in our city and in our states and in our country. I feel like where we are now, through the just, you know, tireless and without giving up, like years and years of trying and showing up and having the same conversations and just trying to push past these preconceived ideas that are everywhere. I think that there's progress. I've seen progress. I've seen a broader acceptance of Muslims. I do think that there are still people, the narratives that are false and that are harmful are still out there, and they're being actively propagated. But I also think that a larger, broader community understanding about Muslims and Islam is also there. A really great example is that when something happens, so anecdotally, a small mosque by my house was vandalized a couple years ago, and it was heartbreaking, right? Like I just was so saddened by it. It was so cruel what they did. And you know, that kind of thing, every time it happens, it brings shockwaves into our community. We just, you know, look at each other and we're like, you know, what are we going to do? But what was amazing about that is that the larger community actually showed up. They heard about this. It was in the news, and the larger community actually contacted the mosque. And it was led by one person who said, look, we need to rally around you guys. And so she organized a sort of a vigil type thing where everybody showed up and, like, you know, crowded into this tiny little mosque. And there were literally people spilling out, right, into the street. Like, there were so many people all together, you know, thinking about this community and holding this community in their hearts and praying and interfaith prayers for this community. And that is extraordinary. That is extraordinary. And that doesn't happen if you're not actively engaged in building bridges in your community. That kind of thing didn't happen immediately after 9/11 in my city, right? It was a lot of fear and a lot of, you come and talk to us and tell us why you're not dangerous. And in this case, people were like, let us come and take care of it. Another perfectly good example was the Texas Muslim Capitol Day that happened last legislative session, where thousands and thousands. We had a Capitol Day. Every time there's a session, the Muslims come. We bring kids from all over the state, Muslim kids, to come and tour the Capitol and, you know, get educated about the process. And a couple of years ago, we had actually had protesters that came and were waving signs and, like, tried to take over the microphone when we were talking. And this time, somebody organized, not a Muslim person, organized thousands and thousands of people who came, many of them wearing shirts that said, I stand with my Muslim neighbors. And they created a huge wall of people 2 feet deep all around the Muslims who were standing on the steps of the Capitol having their rally. The Muslims were outnumbered probably 3-4 to 1. It was spectacular. And again, that was not done by the Muslim community, but that kind of thing doesn't just materialize, right? People don't just show up unless they feel called and there are relationships there that motivate them to stand with your community. And I think that's the fruit of well over a decade of work in building those relationships. And it's amazing to see it when it happens.
Yeah, that's great. I was there at that. That was an amazing event.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So now tell me a bit about what Texas means to you, or what it means to you to be a Texan, how all these pieces fit together.
I love this question. So I'm not originally from Texas. I moved here in 2008. No, I'm sorry, 1998. That's how old I am. End of 1998. And I didn't expect to stay here when I moved. I was getting on my feet. My dad was living in Round Rock, and I came to stay with him. And I ended up finding a job and getting settled in and finding Islam, getting married, buying a house, having kids, and I ended up loving it and identifying very much as a Texan. So I think that this is interesting. I don't even know how to explain this. It's something where I just, and actually weirdly, the same kind of thing happened with Islam, where one day I just remember being, you know, out doing something and thinking, I am just so in love with this place, right? I love my state. It's probably during the spring when all the flowers were out. And I just remember being like, I feel sorry for people that don't live in this state. This is the best place in the world. And then I thought, man, I'm a Texan. Officially, no. It was very much an emotional response, right? Like, and it was the same thing with Islam. I just remember being one day at an event and looking around at people and thinking, my God, these are my people, right? Like, shocked to realize that I feel good here. I feel at home here. It was never a conscious thing. It was just being there. And I guess what it was is the accumulation of so many good and right and positive experiences and relationships over time had built to a certain point, and it was just this moment of, oh, that's who I am. I'm a Texan. Or, oh, that's who I am. I'm a Muslim. And I think that that's really interesting. I mean, I didn't ever set out to do either of those things in my life. And here I am, a Texas Muslim, and I actually... I love it. I love who I am now.
Nice. So, do you think being Muslim in Texas is a different experience than being Muslim in another place? I mean, I know this is all kind of speculation to imagine that.
I think so. I have Muslim friends from around the country, and they think that we're crazy. They're like, why do you live there? They don't understand. Texas is, people have crazy ideas about what Texas is like, and I think, and it actually kind of rubs me the wrong way. Again, in the same way that I feel like when people make assumptions about what it means to be Muslim. I feel the same way when people make assumptions about what it means to be Texan. And I always try to push back on that. And I say, you know, I choose to live here. I chose the religion. I chose the place I live. I love my state. And there's reasons for that. One is that there's so much space here. And I don't just mean physical space. I really feel like Texans, the vast majority of Texans, are the kind of people that are live and let live people. And it's a really good place if you're an independent person, if you're an independent thinker, and if you like to make up your own mind and do things your own way. People can make space for you to do that here. And I love it. I mean, I went up to the Northwest this summer on vacation, Seattle, and I was born in Washington and raised most of my life in the Northwest. And when I got off the plane, when we came back, I got off the plane and I could literally just feel my body relax. And I was like, oh, space. You know, like there's big, big chunks of land just sitting around here. And I don't feel like I have to, tiptoe around and be around people all the time. Maybe it's also, you know, if you're the kind of person that likes to be alone, it's a really good state because you can find places to do that. I love it, and I will say it again. I feel sorry for people that don't live in Texas. We're the best state.
The tourism commission should hire you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a pretty good pitch. So, what else would you like, or is there anything else that you would like people to know about Islam, Muslims, social justice, movements for change?
So I think probably the thing that I really want people to understand in general, not just about Muslims and Islam, but across the board, I think that the reason why I beat this drum, because I talk about this a lot in my work and in my own activism, is that we have to let people define themselves, and we have to allow for nuance in the way that we approach one another and approach the subjects of politics and religion and everything else that we do in this country, right? Pluralism is not about, it's not about everybody being on the same page, and there are going to be disagreements, and that's not a bad thing. And this idea, and I think that it's only a bad thing if you feel so insecure or you don't feel secure in your own identity that that everything seems to be a threat. But in an ideal environment, if you feel comfortable and secure in your identity, then what other people are doing or thinking or believing doesn't really matter. And I think it's a testament to how insecure we are as a culture, as a nation right now, that we're constantly running around and trying to change people or taking offense at other people's beliefs or ideas. We have a process. We have a democratic process for trying to enact policy and make things work the way that we believe they should work. And I would like to see more of us investing in that process than just trying to engage in unproductive conflict with people. And again, I'm all about conflict. I think conflict is good and healthy as long as it's productive. We aren't being productive. And I think that there's I think we're making a mistake. I think that when we engage with one another, this is true in interfaith work too, right? Like we spent a lot of years doing kumbaya interfaith work where we were all talking about what we had in common. And the reality is that we have some very, very big things that we disagree on. And if we don't talk about those things, then what happens is those remain as fractures. And when pressure is applied to us as a community, then we start to break apart. We have to be willing to acknowledge those differences. And I mean that across the board, like externally with people interfaith, intrafaith, for Muslims. I mean, politically, across the political spectrum, I really feel strongly that we need to work. I think we need to work on building ourselves and our own confidence and our own security up, and then also being able to let other people live and let live, right? And it's got to be that way. Anything else is not democracy. Anything else is not pluralism. And I don't want to live anywhere else but there.